Thank you so much. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 16 for a moment. And we were out a little bit late this morning, so we're going to let you out a little bit early tonight. How about that? Well, Pastor, the morning people, they don't get the blessing of getting out early tonight. That's what they get. That's what they get for just showing up in the morning. We stayed late. We kept them late. And one little boy, he asked his mother, what comes after this? She said, Tuesday. And so that's a long sermon. Heard about this church. They had all of their members who were in the military, and they had their pictures on the back wall, and it said what branch of service they were in, Navy, Army. And are there any others? I forget. Oh, Air Force, and Coast Guard, and Marines. Yeah, I know. What is it? Space? Okay, Space Force. I've met some space cadets before. But anyway, they had all their pictures on the back wall of all these people. And they were in uniform. And the little boy asked his mother, said, who are these people? She said, these are all of those that were killed in the service. And the little boy looked up and he said, was it the Sunday morning service or the Sunday night service? So hopefully no one will die tonight in the service. And so Acts chapter 16, let's look at this for a moment. This is one of the early stories of one of the Bible missionaries. And of course, it's Paul and Silas. They are taking a trip. But notice why they did this in Acts chapter number 16. And we see it looking down into verse number 8 for a moment. Acts 16, if you have that, let's just follow along. I'll read out loud. If you have a cell phone, please turn that on vibrate or off, and would appreciate that. Verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. The word pray always means ask, or asked him, saying, come over unto Macedonia. It was a region. It wasn't really a country or just a city. It meant a whole region. Come over to Macedonia and help us. You know, it doesn't define what that help us meant. Did it mean help us find salvation? Help us get a purpose in our life? Help us with our marriages? Help us with our kids? It doesn't say, but I think that help us meant a lot more than tell us how to get saved. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And notice what Paul did. And after he had seen the vision, here's why God used him immediately. Amen. We endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, you help me, those of you that know Acts 16. So, after he obeyed, they lived happily ever after. Right? Isn't that what God does for you when you obey him? You have no problems, and the blessings come down as the prayers go up, and the 10 were wise and 2 were bad, and only a boy named David threw the blessings to Paul. It gets bad. Paul leads this girl who's a fortune teller. She could pick the winning lottery numbers. I wish we had one like that here. Anyway, but they end up saying, we lost our prophet in this girl. They tear Paul and Silas's shirts off, and they begin to beat them publicly. Then they said, let's throw them in jail. And they threw them to the deepest or the darkest part of the dungeon. They're bleeding, locked in stocks. That's what they got for going to the mission field. You know the story, an earthquake shook the building, the jailer gets saved, the church at Philippi is started there. So there is a cost. Amen. There is a cost. It's a cost if you're a missionary here, running a bus route, or just gathering some tracts and passing them out to people, Amen. Witnessing to co-workers. Amen. There's a price to pay here. Amen. You may lose your job these days because now you have affected someone emotionally that was maybe a minority. Or, hey, by the way, I'm a minority in California right now. I'm starting to get benefits for it. It's short people and I can't speak foreign language. I mean, all I speak is English. So, man, I'm a minority. And so, but it didn't turn out easy. They ended up imprisoned and beaten and scarred. Yet a church was started and a book was written. And that was all through the mission effort. I'm going to speak this evening on this subject, the mission questions. The mission questions. And we don't do this every Sunday. We don't have the flags up. We don't talk about a major need. We don't push finances as much. But sooner or later, each of us is going to have to ask ourselves these questions. No matter what age we are, a child, all the way up to the oldest person. By the way, if you have Lillian Hassel's phone number, she's 97 today. She's our oldest member now in our church. Lillian Hassel doesn't get to come, gets to listen, lives down the street. Anyway, I talked to her today, so it's her birthday. Let's pray. Father, again, bless this time and use us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we go. Number one, here's the question. Am I supposed to go? Sooner or later, every Christian has got to ask themselves that question. Am I supposed to leave America and go to a foreign field and spend my life reaching that people group? We've given the illustration at a lot of teen camps, but if you have ever swam and swung on a rope swing over a river or a creek or a lake and dropped, you know how it goes. There's always scaredy cats that won't let go of the rope and they kind of clog up the whole line, climb down. Then there's others that swing out and drop and scream. Then it's their job to swing the rope to the line of people that's on the bank. You know how it goes. And it's your job to catch the rope, get a little start, and you swing and drop. And then you're in the water and you swing it to the person in line. Now, here's the thought here. The closest that rope ever gets to you is on the first swing. So you got to pay attention, because if you don't grab it, when it comes back the second time, it's a little bit farther away. And such is the will of God and the call of God in our lives. And the time to pay attention, young people, is when you're young. Because oftentimes the Holy Spirit of God, it'll be at a teen camp, it'll be at a teen conference, maybe it'll be a Sunday night service, it might be a mission service, but all of a sudden, you're not zoned out, you're zoned in, and it seems like it's just the Lord speaking to you. And maybe the Holy Spirit is taking the rope and saying, well, listen, I'm calling your name. I'm calling you to full-time service. Here's the rope. Here's God's will. Catch it. And if you don't catch it the first swing, oftentimes you never catch it. When I came here, he was one of the teenagers in the teen group. I think we had four. Very small. He was a guy that was kind of in the world, in the church, in the world, in the church, had to get married, had children, marriage didn't last, another mate, more children, my children, your children. He'd been out of church for about 10 years. He came back in a service. I saw him, I was glad to see him. By the way, no matter how messed up someone's life gets, God can still pick up the Humpty Dumpty and make something out of it. No one is hopeless. You don't have to beat someone up for wasting years of their life. They've done beat themselves up pretty bad. And so he came back. Soon he's at the altar and he's getting right with the Lord. And then he wanted to have an appointment. He sat down. He said, Pastor, when I was 15 years of age, I know beyond a doubt, God called me to be a missionary to the continent of Africa. I never went. I'm in debt up to my neck. I've got two wives. I've got all these kids. My wife wouldn't go. My kids surely wouldn't go. I'm barely keeping the marriage going. So now what do I do? He said, every time a missionary comes and shows their slides, it just kills me, because that was supposed to be me. What do I do now? I said, well, here's what you do. You take a Sunday school class, and you teach junior high boys. And the first Sunday you teach, you tell them what you just told me. Just tell them, I blew it. I missed the will of God. I'll regret it the rest of my life. Kids, you don't have to miss the will of God. Amen. Grab the rope. Pay attention. Don't be like I was. Amen. And I said, now you got a pretty good job. I said, how many weeks vacation do you get? Six. Six. I said, here's what you do. Take 2 weeks vacation with your family. Take 4 weeks. Go to Africa. 4 weeks a year. Be on the field. Do what you can. Reach people while you can. At least you're here trying to get people to go, and then you're still where God called you. Amen. You want to catch the rope. Amen. You don't want to have regrets like so many adults have had. This missionary, his last name is Cowman. Lori knows probably the page. She typeset the book, the biography book. He was a telegrapher. He got saved. He started winning souls at work. His co-worker said, how about let's reach out to the other telegraphers? It was in the late 1800s. Let's try to win them to Christ. They formed a Christian telegraph company, and soon God was working on him about preaching. He preached in the worst rescue mission in Chicago. God was working on him. One night, he and his wife were in a church service. And a preacher stood up and said, someone in this room ought to go to the foreign field and spend your life reaching people. He grabbed his wife's hand and said, that means us. Let's stand. No discussion, no warning. That means us. Let's stand. In his diary, he wrote down, took another step toward God, tonight surrendered to worldwide missions. Amen. Cowman, he went to Japan, one of the hardest fields, hardest language, was reaching 1,000 Japanese for Christ every year. Amen. Amazing story. So the question, am I supposed to go? Number two, financially speaking, how much am I supposed to keep? I was telling someone this week, someone was asking some things, and I said, now I've been here 35 years. Amen. We've had a lot of people pass away. We've had a lot of people through the years sell their house or move or be transferred and so forth. 466 funerals. Get this. Four left God's work and missions in their wills. Four. I can name them. I'm not. Four. Here's what happened to most. My kids, this one's on drugs. This one doesn't go to church. This one hates God. We're going to equally divide it all amongst our kids. And that's what they did in many cases. I know, don't tell people where their money ought to go. I'm just telling you. You ought to look at your plan. And it doesn't mean God gets 90% when you die. I mean, you got kids, you got grandkids, you got things. You have to, most people in this room, once they pay your debts, you won't have anything to leave to anybody. You're going to leave your bills instead of your wills. But in some cases, you ought to consider and say, how can I live after I'm gone? Amen, preacher. Amen. It was Elisha that died and they buried him. He had been dead for a good while because he had turned into bones. And they were burying quickly during a battle. They were burying a dead soldier. They were lowering him into that hole. When he touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and he was alive. So Elisha was still doing something for God even after he died. It's interesting. By the way, that was miracle number 16. You remember? He was supposed to get double. He only did 15. He did the 16th after he was dead. Long story. You don't appreciate it. Anyway, so all I'm saying is this. You got to have something written down. That's good stewardship. Decide where you want it to go. You decide. It's going to help some bus kid go to Bible college. Get this. I'm not going to tell you who. We had this week the largest check in history written to the church. I mean, it was $20? Was it, right? Get this. $100,000. Footnote to this missionary. One of our missionaries was roommates with a guy in Bible college. He was an encouragement and a blessing to him. The missionary's been trying to build a building for a good while. God reached down, touched that businessman's heart and said, $100,000, help him finish his building.
Amen.
The guy's rolling in the dough. I looked at that check. I said, hey, man, where's the finder's fee? I know you. $100,000. You say, oh, what a sacrifice. No, he's leaving it all behind anyway. He will not bring a bit of that to heaven with him unless he gives it and decides where it goes. There was a man gave $3 million to start a college. I went to that college. He will be rewarded forever for what he did in my life. I'm just saying. You decide where it goes. Don't let the government decide where it goes.
Amen.
If you don't make a living trust and you don't make a will, they will decide and they get first cut. Not good stewardship. You decide where it all goes. Well, Pastor, I'm not going to die. That's what they all say. I said it this morning in church. Four of the men that helped remodel the house we live in are now in heaven. Four. You just want to be prepared. David prepared abundantly before his death. Have it written down. Here's what I want done. If I die, if husband and wife die at the same time, here's what we want done.
Amen.
I don't know how many people have said, Pastor, will you raise our kids if we die? No. No. Done. I probably shouldn't even say this. Someone years ago was raising their grandchild. And it was like, I'm too old for this. And they said, we'll give you a house. We give you so much money per year just to raise this grandson. You can adopt him. I said, and how's that look? Pastor adopts this child, not even related to him, while the kids don't get any money and don't. No, I don't think so. Just a thought here. We've never touched on that one. How much am I supposed to keep? Heard about the people, they passed by the casket. Very wealthy fellow, and they looked in, and someone said, hey, how much did he leave? Someone said, all. All. I hate to tell you, it kills me. When you die, your stuff's going to be at the street. I just. It's going to be at the street. People are going to sort through it, take anything that's decent, which won't be much. When everything you have was found on next door, it ain't much. And people are going to rummage through your old socks and your old clothes, and they're going to rummage through it. Then it's. But you can decide what you're going to do with it after you're gone.
Amen.
I must hasten. Number three, am I to visit? I'm talking about the mission field. Am I to visit? The Bible says, my eye affects my heart. First mission field I went on was a senior trip. We took the kids to Monterey, California. Tommy Ashcraft was the missionary there. First third world country I've ever been to. I've never seen people that poor. It did something to our hearts. When the seniors came back across the American line, they just burst into, God bless America. They started singing. They were appreciative because they saw how much they had. Interesting. I've not stayed in touch with the Ashcrafts. I just went that one time. Tommy Ashcraft's mom and dad were missionaries. They started that mission and that, where adopted people are. What do you call that? Orphanage. He has sent us letters through the years. I got to preach with him a couple of times. Tommy Ashcraft, he's a legend in Mexico. He speaks at the Spanish conferences. So I'm at Golden State, and I meet this new staff member, David Sloan, Brother Sloan. He said, I'm an Ashcraft. I said, Tom? Yeah. I'm speaking in Texas last week, and a lady walks up. She said, I've been to your ladies' conference. I said, really? She said, we're missionaries, and we took a year, and we took a church in Fallon, Nevada, and helped Brother Robinson out for a year. We brought 27 ladies last year. I said, really? I said, what's your maiden name? She said, I'm an Ashcraft. I'm a Sloan. I said, tell me about it. Here's what she said. 98 of our direct relatives are right now serving God full time. That godly family and their kids and their kids and their kids and their kids. 98. Wow. You want to visit a mission field if you can. Remember years ago seeing Xavier over in Bolivia. What a strange place. They had a whole market filled with witchcraft. You could buy dead llamas that had been aborted to offer sacrifice to Satan. Every new building had human blood in the foundation. They believed if you killed a homeless person, you did them a favor. They were offering that human blood to Satan. That's where he went to be a missionary. Some of you went to Cambodia when we went to see Brother Benefield. And we saw the little shanties of just a line of a sheet divided all these households. Just to see Brother Benefield speak their language that took him years to learn. It was an amazing thing. It was the mission field. We took a group to Zambia. My wife and I got to go on that trip. And I still remember we just stopped at schools. No appointments, no phone. They didn't have a phone. We just pulled in and said, we're the Americans. We're here to preach the Bible. Cinder block buildings, no electricity. Couldn't tell if there were boys or girls. All their heads were shaved. Keep the lice down. One little uniform. Over 50% with AIDS. Witch doctors in the area. And for some reason, we had to sign in. This old dusty book, we had to sign in that we were there. And they said, the Americans are here. We brought them a soccer ball. All the girls sit in the ground here. All the guys sit here. They have something to say. We used those wordless books. We used the Bible stories, gave the gospel. My wife had a little card with those little stickers. They'd be like an iron, a race car. They had never seen those. They had no idea what it was. And she said, if you want a sticker, just stand in line right here. 200 girls stood in line to get their first sticker. We gave the pastor a little jar of bubbles, the type you shake up and blow and the bubbles come out. We asked him the next day, did you enjoy the bubbles? Did your kids like it? He said, yeah. He said, I was able to wash my hair. No idea what to do with it. His daughter's name was Universe. They love those American names. One of his members, Doorframe. They didn't know what the words meant. One guy's name was Worthless. Worthless. What a trip. So we spoke in school after school after school after school till it got dark. They didn't have watches somehow, two different shifts. They knew when to come. Then we came to eat lunch and we sat down, rested a little bit. My wife said, so now what are we going to do? He said, well, we'll just take the afternoon off. She said, what about the other schools? So we got in the truck, school after school after school. We asked him, we said, have you been to these schools before? He said, no. It's so many. He said, we could drive all day long this trail and not preach in all the schools. It does something to you, visiting a mission field. 2 years ago, we were in Botswana. We showed the Jose cartoon. Who was there for that trip? Who was there? The first time it was ever shown, it wasn't even fully in color. We told the principal out of school, we have a cartoon that's never been seen in Botswana. Hold it. He brought the students in the gymnasium. I'll never forget, we got to announce it and say, this is the first time this movie has ever been seen in your country. They broke into cheers. I didn't speak enough English to understand all their dialect. We showed it. At the end, you saw teachers praying, bus drivers praying, students praying. Amen. Am I to go? We got 5 minutes. We have to hurry. Am I to visit? Number next. Here's a question we need to ask. What am I to do with my fourth quarter? We've mentioned that phrase before. What is first quarter? I don't know. Maybe age 1 to 20. What's second quarter? Maybe 20 to 40. What's third quarter? Maybe 40 to 60. What's the fourth quarter? Maybe after 60. As our church is getting a little older and we're getting a little gray, maybe some of us need to consider, so now what's on the agenda for me? Is it just buying a camper, touring America? And I'm not against you taking time off and doing special things. Am I just going to golf 3 times a day the rest of my life? When we were in Zambia, we met a couple, and I think they were from Texas. They had a heavy accent. And I asked the man, I said, so how long y'all been on the mission field? He said, about 2 years. I said, did it take you long to raise your support? He said, we don't have any support. We're just living on our retirement. I said, how long did it take you to learn the language? He said, we don't know this language. It's too complicated. We're too old. We pay an interpreter. And they travel all day with us and we preach everywhere. I said, look at that. That's what they were going to do with their fourth quarter. They were going to go to the mission field. Amen. In Livingstone, Zambia. Named after David Livingstone. Here's the last question. You say, Pastor, that's a lot of questions you're asking us. That's kind of nosy. Am I willing to go? It does not mean God has called everyone to be a foreign missionary, but it ought to mean this. I am willing to go. Amen. If God called, would you? Amen. If God started burdening your heart for a certain country and somehow said, man, this is it, and you knew it, would you do it? Amen. I remember when I was in high school, I was trying to keep a tender heart. I read the life story of David Livingstone and I said, maybe God wants me to go to Africa. I read the book called The Evangelist by John Rice on being an evangelist. And I said, God's called me to be an evangelist. Every book I read, I wanted to be that. Then I read Oprah Winfrey's life story. And I said, so. That was tender. A missionary would come and say, who's willing to go? My hand always went up because I was willing. Like that song David Livingstone penned, Lord, send me anywhere. Now, I'd sung that song before, but it was like this. Lord, send me anywhere in South Louisiana. Only go with me in Mississippi, Alabama, or Texas. Remove any burden. When I got the call to come to California, I felt like I was coming to a foreign mission field. And it was to me. But I was willing. Amen. I was willing. I'm just saying, if you can answer these questions correctly, and you have to deal with it, you don't want to ever have regrets. If you can answer these correctly, you'll have the right kind of vision for world missions. Right kind. I'm done with this. Old story, but we have 2 brand new people, so I've got to tell it. A little bit older man. It was either Kansas or Missouri. I'm not quite sure where Brother Stensis was saved, Brian Stensis. But he's the one that when he was in Uganda, some of the native Ugandans said, you've got to come to our village, our home village where we were raised, Brother Stensis. No white man's ever been to our village. said, okay, I'll come. Hours and hours of travel. He finally walks there, and he sees a little lean-to building, like a brush arbor. He said, I didn't think anyone had ever come here. And you got a church? Yeah, that's our church building. Come see our pastor. Well, I didn't think anyone had ever come here. What do you mean? You got a church building? You got a pastor? Come see our pastor. And they had a log, a stump, right in the middle of that little church building with a transistor radio on top. He said, once you meet our pastor, that's Brian Stensis. He said, I'm Brian Stensis. Who's your pastor here? Brian Stensis is our pastor. We got a radio and we started hearing the gospel broadcast by Pastor Brian Stensis. And we all got saved. And we've been listening to you preach every Sunday. You're our pastor, Brian Stensis. It's going to be a lot of stories up there one day. Everyone is not supposed to go. But every one of us ought to be willing to go. Amen. And I referred to it this morning, and every parent ought to be willing if your kid wants to go. Amen. All my kids are staying in the States, close to home, retired. That might not be God's plan.
Right.
I'd cry my eyes out. I know. But there'll be tears of joy when you know they're doing God's will.
Amen.
You know, God has reached down and He has sent some kids from here. Some have married a missionary, so they're on the field. Others surrendered to be a missionary. Others had a desire from youth. Others never thought about it till they were adults. But the goal is to get the gospel to every creature. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time.